will be in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. I'll read it first. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them therefore, or before the Lord, that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, and the Lord knows them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And it's hard to read that when you know the words you're reading just don't say what they're supposed to say. That's why I get kind of tongue-tied sometimes. I try to read the King James and be fair, but a lot of the words are messed up.
Hard to put a main there.
It's not there. There's some other words in there too. There's not lots of them. Okay. That first verse, back to first verse again. The thou is actually you. Okay, Y-O-U. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when he says, you be strong, my son, do you think he's only talking to Timothy? He's talking to any one of us that hear the truth. See, once we've come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, now we can hear, now he's talking to us. He said, be strong in the grace. What are we talking about, grace here? He said, be strong in that divine influence that he put into your life, and let that be a reflection into your lifestyle. Okay? He said, be strong in that. Stand firm in it. Don't let no one take you out of that course of what you know is right. It's not what you heard somebody say. It's not what you think. It's not what you believe, but it's what you know. When you know it, nobody can take it away from you. And that's what he's trying to tell you. Come to this place where you know what you're talking about, and people can't change your mind. Okay? Verse 2, it goes on and says, "And the things that you have heard of me, not among," that's the wrong word. It should be, it's dia, through. Through many witnesses. What you've heard through many other witnesses, he says. That's what he's telling them. The same commit or to deposit, for you to deposit it to faithful men. So he's saying, whatever you got, now what you know, you should be depositing in someone else. Make sense? Okay. What you got, you deposit in someone else so they can teach it to someone else. And that's what it says. Commit you to faithful men who shall be able, or literally what?
Competent.
Competent to teach, that whom shall be competent to teach others also. Okay? So see, it's a responsibility. When God gives you something, it's a responsibility to give that to somebody else, but it's to give it to somebody who has ears to hear. You can't take a hammer and beat it into somebody's head, can you? If someone is desiring to know the truth, you give it to them. And you deposit to someone that you know has the capacity to teach others, not someone who just wants to get it so they can say, look what I know, or to run out and beat somebody up with it. And there's a lot of them doing that. Verse 3 goes on and says, "You, therefore, not endure, but suffer hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." They don't teach that about most Bible schools, do they? To suffer hardship as a good soldier. So what's the destiny of a good soldier? What's their duty? To suffer. It's part of it, to learn. Suffering is a teaching process. It's just like anything else. When pain's involved, whether it be mental or physical, that pain has something way to teach you, doesn't it? Well, but that pain will make you learn something. It'll take you away from what you were doing to another course, won't it?
It'll make it a lot more concrete.
It'll make you understand why you're going through what you're going through. But it's there's a teaching process along with this suffering. Not just suffering because you're stupid, you know. If I run out there in the middle of the street and run in front of the car and get run over, that's not going to teach me anything. I'll be dead. You know, but to suffer things, abuses from people because of their ignorance, whenever I can bite my tongue and not come back and curse someone because they did me wrong or give them a real hard time about it, you know, that just shows that I got a hold of what God's talking about. See, what Paul's talking of here. We suffer it without complaining and murmuring. Did Jesus suffer on going to the cross?
Oh, yeah.
How did he complain about it? There we go. So there's our example. And that's what Paul's trying to teach us here. He's trying to teach Timothy. We're going to suffer for his sake. Didn't Jesus teach in the Gospels, you'll suffer all kinds of things for my name's sake? Okay. So we've got to put this all together and realize it wasn't just some cute saying he said. There's a reality in this thing. We have to walk through it. It's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy. If you don't suffer with him, you'll not rule with him.
Yes.
So, it's going to teach you things. It's going to teach you compassion for other people, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. You can really understand.
Yeah. And usually when someone's mean towards you, it's usually because they're hurting in some way.
Yeah.
There's usually some pain in them, and they're lashing out at you to try to cover up their pain. Now this next verse is something that it stuck with me as first time I ever read it. I've never forgot it. Verse 4, that no man, or not even one person, okay, that wars or that serves as a soldier is what it should say, not even one person that serves as a soldier entangles himself or involves himself with the affairs or the transactions of this life, okay? And that word life literally speaks of the present state of existence. So we don't entangle ourselves with this present state of existence. What is he talking about?
The world.
The world we live in, this, the conditions we live in, we don't entangle ourselves with these things. We've got to do what we got to do, and the rest of the world can go on and do what they do, right? And that's the way it's got to work. We've got to let the world, we're not here to change the world, are we? See, that's not our job. Our job is to learn to endure hardness, to suffer hardships, not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, right? This present existence. In order that he, cross out that word may there on verse 4, in order that he please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Notice there was no volunteer act there, was there?
What's that word soldier? What's that translate
then? Well, I don't have it marked down. Here I got Strong's right here, and I'll tell you in just a second.
It's 4758. To gather as a warrior.
Okay, there, warrior. That's the correct thing, a warrior. If the word is warrior. So soldier, warrior, kind of identical things going on there, aren't they? Okay. And verse 5 goes on to say, and if a man also strive for masteries. What do you think that really word, that means masteries?
Mine says athletics.
Well, competition is the thrust of it. Okay. If any man also strive in competitions, he is, the word yet shouldn't be there, okay? He is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. So there's rules and regulations in competitions, is there not? And Paul's using this as a parallel. Unless you do what God has set forth for us to do, then we can't be crowned and enter into the kingdom, can we? Isn't that what he's saying? He's using the same parallel here for someone competing in competitions, in athletic competitions, and saying, if you don't do it lawfully, you know, if a football player is running down the field and he steps out of bounds at the 30-yard line but still makes it all the way to the touchdown don't count, does it?
No.
He's marked out of bounds way back here and he has to go over again. And that's what Paul's saying. You got to do what God said. And he set down a bunch of things right there, didn't he? Things that we have to learn to do. Did he say it was easy? Was there anything there about being easy? You'll suffer hardships.
They try to get out of suffering.
Yeah. That's not playing by the rules.
That's stepping out of bounds.
That's stepping out of bounds. You're violating the rules when you try to bend it and get out of that thing.
They're not finished.
That's what's wrong with the church system of man today, is they're trying to avoid the hardships that God has put in front of them. Instead of going over the mountain, they're trying to run around it, and they're stepping out of bounds every time they do it, because that's not the course he gave them.
Not condemned for
no, they're just out of bounds. And they can't, they have to get it right. That's all. Verse 6, the husbandman, that is the who? That's the farmer, huh?
Yeah, mine says farmer.
It should be farmer. And all he's doing is say, the father, God is the husbandman, it says in Scripture. Okay? So, if God is the husbandman, then who is the first partaker of the fruits? He is. So the first fruit go to who? God. Okay. So without saying first fruit right there, we understand it's implied there, isn't it? The first thing to come ripe goes to the farmer. When he says the first partaker should be partaker of the first fruit. And that's a whole lifestyle in itself of the first fruit. And if anybody's interested, I think we all pretty well know here right now, but if anybody hears and wants to know about first fruit, understand there's probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses of the first fruit and what you go through and what you'll suffer and how you become first fruit by God's choice, not by your volunteer, you know. So they can get back in there and dig it out if they want to. Okay? Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Well, the word and is not and. What is it?
It's gar.
It's gar. What does gar mean?
Because.
There. See, it's a reason. He said, consider what I say because the Lord will give you understanding. If you consider what he says, who's going to give you understanding? God is. The Lord's going to give you understanding in all.
Don't you think that goes along back with verse 6? If you're going to plant something, if you're going to...
Yep.
If the seed's going to grow, if you're...
If you're doing what you're supposed to. Get the understanding. That seed's going to grow in your understanding when you listen to what and consider what he says. See? Too many people, and it's as broad as it is long. Maybe it's broader than it is long. I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. There are too many people in the especially in the church system today that they idolize their preachers. They set them up as God, little gods on a throne. And that's totally wrong. Would you agree? Okay, but it's just as wrong for people to not pay attention to what they say. Because if they pay attention to what they say, don't put them on a pedestal, but pay attention to what they say and then go check them out. Search the scriptures to see if what I say is true. Isn't that what Paul said? See? So if the responsibility falls on who then? On the individual to see if what was discussed was the truth.
That's the people want the responsibility to be put on the
preacher. Absolutely.
Not have it on themselves.
And he wants to keep it.
He wants to keep it because he's walking in arrogance and pride.
Yeah.
See, instead of putting it back on the people, saying, hey, I'm going to tell you what God said. Now it's between you and him to work this thing out. I can't do anything for you there. Right?
See?
Well, there's a lot of them want to be worshipped. And if you want to give up your place to a rock, go ahead. I'm not going to do that. Okay? In verse 8, it goes on to say, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, that's pretty important, you know? Because there's a lot of people today. I read in what they called Pulpit Helps years ago that... There was, I can't think how many thousand preachers are coming out of seminaries, and they're teaching in the seminaries that you don't have to be anything by the resurrection. There's another way other than the resurrection to get you to the kingdom. They're teaching things like that in the seminaries. So if the preachers are being taught that this isn't the truth,
isn't by their own rules, that's heresy, isn't it?
Sure it is. By their own rules, it's heresy. But they still want to make it fit their doctrines and not what the Scripture says. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. But he said, they're raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Paul said, my gospel, why? Because he experienced it. He walked it unto death. Okay? He has a right to call it his gospel. He was walking it out to death. And he says, wherein I suffer trouble... as a criminal, not an evildoer, but a criminal, under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He said, and they put me in bonds because I spoke the truth. They locked me up, put me in chains, and threw me in prison because I told the truth about the gospel of God. How many people's had that? More than you're in a prison now without bars. You're a heretic, you're crazy, they got all kinds of things they say, and who cares? The only thing that matters is that you know that God loves you. What else matters? Everything else will work out. You don't have to worry about that. They can't do anything to you. He even said, don't worry what man might threaten to do to you. Don't worry about it. Verse 10, he goes on and says, therefore I endure what? Suffer how much? I suffer all things for the elect's sake. Okay? That's not for... Paul didn't say he did it for all creation, did he? He's talking about first fruit. He said, I'm doing this for first fruit. I'm trying to get the rest of first fruit in. Because you can't bring the rest of the harvest in until first fruit's picked. Can you? That's the way the rules are. That they also... And not to cross out that word may too, because it's a negative word that ain't there to start with. It's not there. That they... also obtain the deliverance, okay, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, you know, you got to realize I'm suffering this, that you, that we can today receive this deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Not that they may, but that we will get it. See? It's not a maybe word. It's not in there.
No doubt in God.
Nope. Okay, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, not for, but because, if we died, not be dead, but if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Okay, it's literally in him. The word with is in, okay? We died in him, we shall live in him. Romans 6, 3, okay? If we suffer or endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Did it say anything about throwing you in hell? No, because it don't exist. Only in the minds of religious people. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot possibly, is what the language actually says, he cannot possibly deny himself. Because there's not a human on the face of the earth that does not have Christ in them. Many are not aware of it because they haven't been awakened yet. That's all. Us sitting here right now talking, right here in this room, at one time we didn't know it. See? And we got woke up at his command, not by my command or your choice or my choice, was it? He did it on his own when he was ready. Verse 14, of these things put them into remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about the words of no prophet, but to the subverting of the hearers. There's many people that want to argue things, and all they're doing is stirring things up. Agitators. Okay? And all they want to do is try to tell you how much they know, and all they're doing is exactly the opposite. They're telling you how much they don't know. When I was a child, I heard this said all the time. It's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And people that think they know so much, a lot of times when they open their mouth, they think they're impressing somebody, but all they're doing is revealing themselves to everybody that has any ability at all, don't they? That's all they do.
Mine that I always used to hear was, is for me to know and for you to find out.
Yeah. Well, that's not a really good one, but I know I've heard that one a lot, you know, but I don't agree with it necessarily. I don't think that's a good thought.
To keep it secret.
Yeah. Okay, verse 15. We've all heard this one, haven't we? Study. You know what that word study means? To make an effort.
Start.
Start, you know. The hardest part of a 10,000-mile journey is the first step. Start. Any job you got to do, start it, next thing you know it'll be done. It said, make an effort to exhibit yourself approved to God. A workman, and literally it's a teacher that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing or expounding correctly the logos of truth, the words of truth. I'll read it again in its the way it should be. Make an effort to exhibit yourself approved to God, a teacher that needs not be ashamed, expounding correctly the words of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings or fruitless discussions, because they will increase to more ungodliness. You want to talk about foolishness? Go ahead. It ain't going to get you anywhere, is it? No place pleasant, that's for sure. And their word will eat as does a canker. Or literally, it will spread as gangrene. Yeah. That word canker there, you know, it says, eat as a canker, as do a canker. It means it will spread as like gangrene. It's very quickly. And it does irreparable damage to your body. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. I used to call that Herman and Phyllis, you know. It's easier to say. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, there's all kinds of things being taught that overthrows the faith of many people today. They're trusting in words that's not the truth. Why not just tell the truth? I heard someone say, well, you can't tell them all the truth at one time. You got to just give them a little bit. And so you tell them a little bit and lie to them about the rest of it until they believe that part of it. And then one of these days they're going to figure out you lied to them. So what are they going to believe?
That you're a liar.
What else can you say? Yeah. If I'm going to lie to them about anything, it's a lie. So
believe that guy,
if it's God, huh? Yeah, there's a thing about cutting it off, but don't lie about the rest. I heard people say, well, just go ahead and tell them what they want to hear until they get that part of it. Well, if they don't get the truth, it's never going to change them, and they're never going to be able to hear anymore. See, the only thing that's going to change you is the truth, isn't it? The only thing that'll set you free is the truth that you know. So we've got to let it go. And if God said it, why should we hide it? No, why hide it? Just say it. And it's not me. If I repeat what God said, is it me saying it or is it God saying it? It's God saying it. It's not me. If the words of God hurt somebody's opinion or offend them in any way, whose fault is it? It's not mine. If there's anyone says something to offend somebody, the weakness falls, the responsibility falls to the one that's weak. You know, if they're weak and can't understand something, it's their responsibility to find out the truth. No. No. But they think that anyway. Okay, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands strong. What should say? Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name or the nature and character of Christ depart from iniquity. So wouldn't you think that we should probably be a little different from everybody else, since we're aliens. We should be a little different than everybody else. We shouldn't probably talk exactly the same way, address the same way, act the same way. We can get along with them. We don't have to get along with them. We don't have to go along with it. No, we can put up with anything, you know. He said to endure hardness, you know, or suffer hardships, right? And to put up with everybody. We should be able to accept everybody regardless of what they do. We don't have to like what they do, but we have to accept the person. And so they have bad habits. So what?
It's not their test anyway, it's yours.
Huh?
It's not their test
right.
anyway.
When someone comes like that too, it's like say it's not for them. I'm not supposed to change anybody. They're changing me.
Yeah.
So we got to have compassion and grace. So don't worry about everybody else. And he kind of explains something to you. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of to honor and some to dishonor. Okay? So every vessel that God made was not a vessel to honor, was it? Every person out here is not supposed to be a righteous person yet, are they? Because it takes positive and negative to make the circle, to make life. It takes both. And so there's got to be negative people coming against the positive people to make them stronger and complete their cycle of life. Does that make sense? Okay. And that's what he's telling us here. So in verse 21, he goes on and says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what's that reckon that means, purge himself? Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Do away with them. Deny them. Get rid of those things. He shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified, and useful, not meat for the master's use, but useful to the master's, and prepared to every good work. Now, if you're accepted of God and made useful to the master, what can he use you for?
Anything
he wants to. He don't have to ask your opinion.
You're a valuable tool.
You're a tool. And you know, the negative tools are just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
but they have a different reward, that's all. Okay? It's harder to be a vessel of honor than it is to be a vessel of dishonor. Right? But I just wanted to know, he can use you any way he wants to. You know, we can say, well, I'm a vessel of honor. Okay, so we're a vessel of honor. What if he chooses to use you in a position of a vessel of dishonor at one point?
I think I have been a couple of times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have to realize he can use you for anything. That's my point. I want you to understand, God can use you any way he wants to use you. He can take you, and if you've never preached a word in your life, and if he wants you to stand up and preach in the middle of a crowd, you know what you'll do?
You're going to do it.
You'll do it. Okay? When God resides within you, he said he gave a gift to humanity, and that's what's residing in us. And he said he gave us apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. Okay? But those are internal. That's not necessarily an external position like the church has made him into. That's internal. So he can call you to prophesy, to be an apostle, anything he wants to use you in that aspect, he can use you. Don't get scared about it. It's just he'll equip you, and when he equips you, he'll use you.
You're already into the act before you realize what he's doing.
That's right. Because he didn't have to notify you that he was going to do it, did he? When we realize that, things go a whole lot easier. Now, the next one. At our age, we don't have to worry about a lot of this. Flee youthful lust. I'm not youthful any longer. But not follow, but pursue, okay? Pursue righteousness, faith, or truth itself, and charity, which is love, peace, with them that worship the Lord out of a clean or pure mind. Okay? No motives here to get something in return. If you heard in 99% of the churches today, probably, they'd be talking about doing things and looking for their reward. It's not out of a reward. If you love somebody, what will you do for them? Think about there it is. See? I don't have to get a reward because of it. You just do it. You know, and you don't keep score. I've done 10 things now. What are you going to do for me? You know, that's not what it's about. It's just you do it. Is there any limit?
No.
No limit. Is it easy? Nope. Didn't say it was, but that's just the way it is. Life isn't fair. It just is.
Right. Anything that's pleasant or unpleasant.
Do it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Do it.
I mean,
do
you
it.
You just gotta do what you gotta do.
And let it go with that. You can't, you know, you can't be holding score and grudges over it. And, you know, and I hear people say it all the time. You know, I do this for my spouse all the time, and they just never do anything for me.
Well,
Well, you know, you probably should do it, but the complaining, you just lost any reward you had out of complaining. See? So, and they think, well, I did that for that spouse. They should come back and do so much for me. I know one of my previous wives, one of the wives prior to this one I have now. Prior to the best one, you got that right. If I would go spend $10 on something, she'd say, where's my money? You spent $10, I guess spend $10. If I had to buy a new vehicle to go to work because my vehicle broke down, well, where's my new vehicle at? Now, this isn't a competition to see who can spend the most money. You know, it's I'm spending money to make money for the house, and yet you don't work, and then you want to spend as much as I do. It don't work that way. You just spend whatever you have to. You know, I didn't say anything about the dishwasher or all the other washer and dryer and all that stuff either, you know. So that's the thing we've got to get out of. Quit making life a competition, okay? It should just be you do things you're supposed to do. You know what the right thing to do. You do it and leave it there, right? That's the way you want to get along. You want to have a peaceful house. That's how you have a peaceful house. Don't let it be a competition. Verse 23, this is about the third time we heard this piece right here. but foolish and unlearned or stupid questions avoid. That's what it literally says, stupid questions avoid, knowing that they do gender controversy. Okay. Verse 16, what does it say? Shun those profane and vain babblings. And there's another place back there too. Yeah, but the message is there multiple times to let you know that this vain, this crazy stuff we're talking about sometimes don't mean anything. Should leave it alone. If it's not fruitful, if you can't see any fruit in the conversation, what's the point of having it? That's what he's trying to say. If you can see ahead of time that discussion of this certain thing brings no fruit, we're talking spiritual things.
That's why he continues. That we started off with the farmer.
Yeah.
Sowing stuff.
Yep. And we want them to be fruitful, right? Mm-hmm. The husband should get the fruitful part of it, the farmer. Verse 24. And the servant, and that's the slave, the love slave of the Lord. And look at that next word. What is it? Next three words. What's it say?
Must not quarrel.
Must not strive or quarrel. See? A true servant of the Lord, okay? That's doulos, it's a slave, love slave. If you're truly a love slave of God, then you must not strive or to quarrel or argue or fuss. But be gentle to all. Be what?
Gentle
to all. Does this say all that's nice to you?
No.
All. Okay, well that means everybody then, don't it? Okay, just checking.
That's a tough statement.
Sure it is. There's nothing easy about it. It's tough. But you got to learn not to bite anybody. I mean, you, in your language, when we talk to people, we got to be disciplined is the word.
Yeah.
Okay? We got to be disciplined. Don't, just because we feel bad, does that give us a right to?
What if you don't leave a table and move to another table?
That's okay. Just be pleasant and gentle to everybody, see? Don't kick them in the teeth before you leave, you know. Okay. And it says, apt to teach. What do you think that means?
Skillful.
Skillful in teaching. You should be skillful. Does that mean you just pick up a book and start reading and tell everybody what it means?
No, it's your lifestyle.
It's something that you've done for years. You've studied and learned things that you can't learn any other way.
And your actions are teaching people.
Sure.
You're doing.
Well, when you're gentle to all, not quarreling with everybody, what does that mean? That's teaching them, isn't it? See, that's, your lifestyle should be the greatest teacher there ever is without speaking a word.
You can't be, do as I say, not as I, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, yeah. That doesn't work.
And when it says apt to teach or skillful in teaching and patient.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patient. People.
For how long?
As long as it takes. Doesn't mean sometimes, Lois has told me in years past when I'd sit and talk on the phone to people hours and hours and hours into the night, you know, into the early morning talking.
I talked to one this morning.
Yes, I did. But, you know, you can't, just because they don't understand doesn't mean you can't slam the door in their face. That you can, rather. Slam a door in their face. You have to try to help them see something. And this morning, the conversation didn't go too long because I said something that made sense to him. He said, oh, well, that makes sense. That fits. Okay. See you later. It was all took. Just needed something that he could grasp a hold of. So if I say it this way or that way until I find a way that it can get through to him, then fine. Yeah, but you got to be patient with them, and it's just, you know, I never was patient before, was I?
Nope.
But I found something in being patient. I found something. I found a peace in being patient. See, I know they're not patient, but I am. And you know what? If you are not patient with someone, they're going to pick up on your anxieties. And they're going to be fighting with you, and next thing you know, you're going to be spitting and sputtering with each other.
If there's no patience there, you immediately start creating that hell
Well, they can sense the anxieties in you. I mean, people aren't crazy. Just because they're carnal don't mean they don't have emotions and can't feel anything. You know, so they feel that, huh?
And thus goes the drama, and then they love drama.
Yeah, and they just stir everything up, see? So you're the one that's putting the water on the fire, putting it out. You're the one putting the fire out by being patient. It's very important. In verse 25 says, in meekness, that word is truly humility. Okay? In humility, instructing those that oppose themselves.
Yeah, that's important. That's a big statement.
Well, they don't even realize they're opposing themselves. They don't understand that. And then it says, God, peradventure, or literally, that's not what it really says, perhaps. And God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Okay. That word repentance, what's it mean?
Change your thinking.
See, he's going to help them if you're humble with them. God and the ones that oppose themselves, they might say, wait a minute, this person isn't getting mad and I'm getting mad as fire here. What have they got going on? Why ain't they mad at me? Because I've questioned the same thing to them 10 times or 15 times and they're patiently telling me the answer again. Oh, I know. But anyway, if God chooses to give them the repentance, the changing of their mind to the acknowledging of the truth, and if God does it,
yeah,
notice that God is the one giving them that ability to change their mind.
Yeah, so you can't even change your mind if you're not God.
You can't change it unless God's desiring for them to change at that time. Every man in his own order. Right?
Yes.
Now this verse 26, the word and is not right because it's not a connecting conjunction there. The word literally should mean so, S-O. Okay? So then, it should say. So then, they, cross out that word may in King James, so then they recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, so then when God gives them the ability to change their mind, they can do what? Recover themselves. Hello? You see that? They can recover themselves once God gives them the ability to change their mind. Out of the snare of the devil. The who? The false accuser. Okay? The word devil, diabolos, the false accuser. Who are taken captive. And now here's another kicker too, because this is what makes him a personality right here. Who are taken captive by him at his will. When you say him and his, you're giving him a personality. Right? Is that true?
Yeah.
But it should say, who are taken captive by it. To do its will, its own will.
Autos, right?
Yep. You see, they're giving a personality to something that has no personality. It's a thinking process.
Well, they go up there in the other verse and talk about opposition, and then they come down here and put devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way they translated it. But it should say, but who are taken captive by it to do its own will, by it, its will. What will? There's only two wills on the earth, your will and God's will. And your own will is the one that takes you captive. When it can convince you that you're right, it's got you. Correct? If it can correct you, you're right, or you've got a right to be upset, boy, it's got you right where it wants you. And I don't want to call it him or he, because you know what? It's not. It's just a thought process. And the best I can understand, it says that there's two in the earth. One will be taken and one will be left. And the one that's leaving is not God. That's that Adam thinking. It's got to go.